his disciples. Jesus, of course, had taught, he had walked with his disciples for 3 years, and he taught them a great deal. In Scripture, we have a lot of his teachings. We have things like the Sermon on the Mount. We have lots of Jesus' teachings, and I think because we have those teachings, part of our perhaps misunderstanding is that we really think what was most important about Jesus was his teachings. And what we fail to understand, what we fail to comprehend, is that really, even though the teachings of Jesus are obviously important, the most important thing in Jesus' ministry was Jesus himself. In fact, in most places, in most religions, the leader eventually plans on dying. And so he builds his movement, he builds his the strength of what will happen after him, based on the teaching, or her, on the teaching. But with Jesus, it was something very different. With Jesus, everything was built on Jesus. It wasn't built on his teachings. It wasn't built on the things, although those were important. What was really crucial in Jesus' ministry was Jesus himself. And I think we fail to understand how devastating it was when Jesus died. Andy Stanley says, Jesus did not come to leave his followers with a collection of insights and parables to pass on to the next generation. He says, he went too far for that to be the case. He complained too much about himself, about who he was. He made too much of himself. He made too much of who he was and his role in the kingdom. He allowed others to make too much of him. Everything about Jesus' ministry is Jesus taught on the kingdom, as Jesus taught on how we're to have a relationship with God. As Jesus was doing all that teaching, in the middle of it was Jesus himself. And when Jesus died on the cross, all of a sudden, everything he taught made absolutely no sense from that point on. And everyone dismissed his message. If Jesus has died, they understood. If Jesus is dead, we can't just make his teachings because Jesus is at the center of his teaching. So no one believed his message any longer. No one believed his claims. He was dead. And so all the claims they thought about being the Son of God, about who he was and what his role was, they dismissed him. Everything in the dreams and hopes of his followers died with Jesus on the cross. And so whenever we read in Mark 16, 1 through 3, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? What we have is we have people for whom their dreams have died. And you know, there's one of two ways to act after your dreams have died. And some of you, some of us in this room, are those who will simply carry on. That was the women. They were simply carrying on. What do you do if your dreams have died? You figure out how to bury them. And these women, as they're going to the tomb, they're occupied with the thoughts of how do we get the stone away? There was no hope. There was no, maybe we'll find the tomb empty and Jesus is alive. None of that. Their dreams were dead. And they were simply trying to figure out how do we go forward in life. The other way, Notice none of the disciples are with him. They're basically idle. They're also trying to figure out what they do next. They've spent all their time, they've invested their lives in the message and the person of Jesus Christ. And now he's dying on the cross. And here's the thing about death. Once dead is dead. And that's that.
Thank you. Hallelujah.